Today's scripture reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, 40 to 47. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourself from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day, the fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their home and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. May the Lord bless the reading of this word. Now I invite Pastor Norman to come and share God's message. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm sure everybody have been watching the news every day about on Ukraine, and I watch the news every day. I pray for Ukraine every day. I don't think anybody expected the war will go on for so long. I think in the beginning, I think most experts, so-called, they probably expect this to last a few days. But as the war continues, we need to pray for the people in Ukraine. But I think most people were surprised that the Ukrainians can hang on for so long. In fact, they are fighting back. There are, of course, many reasons for the outcome of the war, the ongoing war. But I think we all can see one thing, that the Ukrainian people are staying on, hanging on. You can see the unity in the people. I think when we watch the news, when we read the news, and we can all sense this unity, one mind, one spirit. As you know, most Ukrainians are Christians. And when I look at this, I pray for the people, and then I also look at churches, our church. Our vision statement is unify in Christ to fulfill the mission of God. Unify in Christ. We also, that's our mission statement. We almost look for unity among all three congregations, our church. So my topic is actually, my complete topic this morning is actually, unity is more than just being together. And we think that coming together, we're still looking for the time that everybody is here. But this morning we have quite a lot of people here. We need to all come back together as one body of Christ. I know that there's still some people, different reasons, not coming back yet, so we'll continue to wait. But one day, I look forward to the day that we can all be here together. But unity is more than just being together. Even though one day we all be back here, worshiping together. Friday night, all the new fellowships are already back. Being together, is that what unity is all about? So my complete title is actually more than, unity is more than just being together. And this morning, we're going to look at the book of Acts, the first church. The word church, ecclesia, actually means a group of people. That's a different meaning than what we meant today. When we say a church, it means a building. But ecclesia, church, is just a group of people. When we look at the first group of people, believers, disciples of Jesus, in the book of Acts, we can learn big lessons on what unity is. Because I'm sure everyone have read Acts, maybe just glance through it, or some chapters of it. We all admire the unity of the very first group of disciples getting together, church, called today. The first thing we learn is from Acts 1:14. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. The first thing we notice in chapter 1 is that a group of disciples of Jesus, they have different from different backgrounds. It's kind of like us. So this morning here, we have mostly younger people, but some a little bit more mature people from different backgrounds, some from Vietnam, you know, quite a few of us here from Vietnam, from Hong Kong, some born here, from different places. And then later on, we have other congregations coming in from China. China even more different groups. You know, there are over 50 different groups in China. So our church consists of many different group of people from different cultural backgrounds. And in the book of Acts, we see that the very first church, we call it, group of disciples, they were all with one mind, the thinking. One mind, the word mind here means one accord, one passion. Now look up in the dictionary, it means one mind, one impulse, one passion. I like the word passion. So if today we can, in the fellowship, we have clay, so they have one passion, because they're all college students, you know, they all share their background, they're all in school studying, now the exam time, so they're all very busy, but I see many of them here, so our worship team, they probably have to prepare for exams today, after the worship. So one passion, one mind, and then we have the pathfinders, they're young career, so they have a different focus in life. If today we have a soccer club, so they all have one passion, playing soccer. So this group of people have one mind, one accord, one passion. What was our passion here? To worship this morning, our passion to worship, to follow Jesus. And the congregation of those who believed, these are believers of Christ, were of heart and soul. This is one of Pastor Chow, the founder of VCAC. Pastor Chow, he always taught us, you know, you need to serve God with heart and soul. Heart, Greek, cardiac, that's today, we have the English word, cardiac. Cardiac heart is actually, literally means the heart, your heart, the organ. But in those days, it also has a meaning because they believe that one's will, mind, is actually where your heart is. So it means your soul, your mind, the seeds of your thoughts, passion, desires coming from your heart. Soul, suke, the word suke. Soul meaning is the seed of feelings, affections, aversions. So the scripture here is saying that these people with one mind, one heart, one soul. So the whole body, they're all together united. So when we say, see, are we all united? I think to some extent we are. We all come here to worship God, whether it be at home and here this morning. We come here to have fellowship. We come here to learn, right? Sunday school later on, teen Sunday school at 11:15. Don't forget that, adult Sunday school. Today, I think, is we have prayer time. And we study Bible at the fellowship. We're all here to learn God's word. We learn to grow spiritually. Yes, we are of one mind. And now the church is promoting, or not promoting, is aligning us all into to be a missional church with a mind, passion, on mission, outreach, evangelism. Satan always tried to divide the church. That's his full-time job. But you can see the very first group of disciples, they were together with one mind. Even though they are from different backgrounds, no one said that, no, I'm the disciples, I'm with Jesus, I'm closer to Jesus, I've been following Jesus for a longer time than you, or I'm related to Jesus. No, everybody together, they humbled themselves together, appear five times in the book of Acts. These 120 people, they humbly met together, worshiped together with one heart. So what a beautiful picture of unity. They don't have a lot of money. They don't have a lot of talents. I'm not sure they have a worship team as good as ours. Maybe not a drummer, pianist, but they were with one mind. But to some extent, I think we are with one mind. Otherwise, you won't be here. You'll be somewhere else. I mean, there are other things you can do. The fact that you are here, you're sharing the same value, a passion. So I think we see to some extent, we can say that we are one mind, one heart, one soul. And they love one another. They have fellowship together. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread, like we're going to do this morning, in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Well, it's like our cornels. We used to eat quite often. I still remember those potluck gatherings. Usually we have better attendance when there's potluck, especially a hot pot. I still remember fill the whole basement, the chapel, when we have a hot pot. So we fellowship together. And here he mentioned they sold property and possession to give anyone who had need. So this is not the beginning of socialism or communism. So actually here is using it in an imperfect tense here, multiple times, saying that the NIV actually translate this, I didn't have put it down here. From time to time, they sell properties to support each other. So this is a continual process. It's not that they all sold everything that they had and put together to support the church, but they, from time to time, as the needs arise, they sell property to support each other. It's like what we are doing today. We support the church ministry, God's work. We donated some money last few weeks to support Ukraine. We support the missionaries. So from time to time, as the NIV translated, from time to time, they sell property to support the church. They have fellowship together. The word fellowship came from chapter 2, verse 42. I didn't put it down here. They have fellowship. The word fellowship is koinonia. So that's why our fellowship, koinos, took the word from this Greek word, fellowship. Koinonia. Koinonia meaning holding something together. It appears 20 times in the Bible. They serve each other unselfishly. They sacrifice. When we look at our fellowship, they all love their fellowship, each fellowship. Previous ago, I went to Clay, they asked, why, there was a question asked, why do you come to fellowship? I mean, there are so many other more interesting things to do Friday night after school. Why do you come to fellowship? Well, to meet the people, it's this relationship, isn't it? We come to fellowship, have this relationship. We come to worship God together, but after the worship, we also have, I noticed that most of the worshippers, after they're evacuated from here, for the cleaning, they all stand outside there for as long as they can. They have fellowship. Hopefully, very soon we can move back to the other room, have dessert. So we treasure the fellowship together. Well, no one will just start running out, charging out of the parking lot after the worship. Most of the people will, unless you have something to do, right? We stay around. And Friday night, when the fellowships are finished, this past Friday night, they all went to McDonald's, I was told, to have dessert. But then they found they don't serve ice cream there, I was told. So at night, they had to wash the machine, so they all went somewhere else. So they treasure the fellowship. So I think to some extent, our church have the unity, like the first church, the first group of disciples. We fellowship together. We break bread together, have communion together. We eat together. We have potluck together. That's why our church is built on fellowships. So you need to belong to one fellowship. Otherwise, you could be very lonely at church. So I encourage everybody belong to one group. QF, Connox, Saturday Night Fellowship, or small group. We have a few small groups. Modern Family. So make sure you belong to one. There must be one group that suits you. If not, you come and ask me. I help you. I'm sure if you don't have any group that suits you, I will form a new fellowship for you. That's what the fellowship is for, to serve you. So I think to some extent, our church is unified in that sense. We have very strong fellowships here that we support each other. And we notice that the first church, not only that they have one mind, one heart, one in love, they love one another, they also have one vision and one mission. They preach the word of God. If you read chapter 2, from verse 14 to 34, it's quite a long chapter. It's basically a sermon. A sermon that's recorded in this chapter. And then this happened a few times in the book of Acts. That is a full script summary of a sermon is actually put inside the chapter. It's a sermon. And they were preaching God's word. There's no funny jokes, illustration, it's just pure doctrines that they're preaching. I think our churches have a very strong emphasis on that as well. We really emphasize on Sunday school. Every Sunday, we have Sunday school. And then later on, we have children's Sunday worship now. We study the word of God. They study the word of God, but they also preach, right? They preach the word of God. They speak the word of God with great boldness. Chapter 4, verse 29. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. They preach the gospel of regeneration, repentance. Those who accepted his message were baptized. We have baptism coming up soon. You believe, you baptize, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 people converted in one day. Wow, he's a great evangelist. They have not only one mind, one love, but they have one vision, one mission to preach the gospel. But I think our church We see, to some extent, we are trying now really hard. Since last year, we encourage people to enroll in the Kairos course so that we can align our thoughts, our mind together. We need to align our thoughts together before we can walk together, before we can fight together. We are one enemy. Sometimes we pick the wrong enemies. We start fighting against each other. We are one enemy, which is Satan. And our job is to fight Satan by preaching the word of God. There will be no true peace in this world. And any truths that people, the man, come up with will only be broken one day. True peace can only be found in Christ. And we have this true peace that we can share with the world. So we need to align ourselves. And the way to do that is we all study the same material together. We learn the same material together. So I encourage everybody to sign up for the Kairos, sign up for ETI. If not, we can help you to run the ETI. So Saturday night Fellowship is running the ETI in the fellowship. Crunch has already done that. Later on, we'll run the interface. These three courses. So what's the purpose of these three courses? Is they align our mind together so that we can have one vision. The vision is to preach the word of God, the gospel, locally and to the ends of the world. They preach the word of God. They have a missional mind. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And then not only they speak about Jesus' teaching, they follow it. They live it out. They devoted their lives to Jesus' teaching. But I think to some extent, VCC is, we're not there yet, but I think we are walking in the direction. That's why we have all these equipping, training, so that we all focus. We'll make mission locally, globally, the center focus core value of all our ministries. Mission is not just at one department of VCAC, but it is at the center core of all our ministries. Every ministry that we have here, we're going to develop mission. I want to even be serving our children, but we want the parents of the children to come. We have a fellowship here. Fellowship is not just for us to have a good time together. Yes, that's very important, but we hope that through this fellowship that people can see our love and will attract them, a new non-believer to come. We worship here. We have a good worshiping time, but we should not just stop there. We want to bring back people who are outside the door of salvation, or people who have gone astray from God. We want those people back so that when they see our worship, when they experience our worship, they also want to be part of it. How come these Christians worshiping God with one in one accord? They all seem to be so high. Pumping up, jumping. I want to be part of this community. So our worship, we want to invite non-Christians to come as well, to share this joy that we have. So to some extent, I think we are going in a direction. We may not be there yet, but I think we see it is a church that have a vision, a missional church vision. We have one mind. We love one another to some extent, to some degree. We have one vision, one mission. But I think this is where we fell short. We don't pray together enough. The church in Acts is a church of prayer. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Wow, they caused an earthquake. When they pray, they shake the ground. Not their legs shaking. The ground is shaking. Book of Acts is a book of prayers. Dr. A.C. Dixon wrote this. When we rely on organization, we get what organization can do. When we rely on education, we get what education can do. When we rely on eloquence, we get what eloquence can do. But when we rely on prayer, we get what God can do. The book of Acts is a book of prayer. Almost every chapter in the 6-8 chapters, almost every chapter, starting from chapter 1, mention prayers. Chapter 1, they pray and wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Chapter 2, they pray together as a church. Chapter 3, they pray for the sick. Chapter 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, all the way down to 28, the last chapter, Paul prayed for a sick man. And the man received healing from the Lord. Every chapter is about them praying together. The church in Acts, the followers in Acts, they not only have same mission, same vision, fellowship, one mindset, they pray together as one body. Then there was a man that prayed diligently, even against the king's wishes. He set aside time each day to pray. David is a warrior in battle, but through the Psalms, we can see that he is a man of prayer. Unity is more than just being together in the fellowship, in serving, in studying, in going out, even in mission. Unity is in the spirit. One mind, one love, one mission. Pray together as one body, one in the spirit. True unity is in the spirit. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is the most important element of unity, and this is where we need all to strive to. Unity in the spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 17, 21, that all of them, Jesus said, may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Like Jesus, the unity between Jesus and Heavenly Father. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that they may be one as we are one. May they be brought to complete unity. True unity is unity in the spirit. Otherwise, our fellowship will be just surface. Unity is more than just singing together. But that is part of the unity, but it's more than that. Having fun together, eating together, having one vision. This unity is when each one of us need to connect to the other people, the other members in unity. This unity is something that's natural, not something that we put together. It's not like the arm, a leg, ears, we stitch together, we sew together in the one body. That's not true unity. It's an organic growth from inside out. We grow out the arm, the hands, the legs, the ears, the eyes from the inside. This body is grow up. It's organic unity. How do we accomplish that? Through the Holy Spirit. 60 times the book of Acts mentioned the Holy Spirit. or more than 60 times. I counted myself last night, more than 60 times. The book of Acts is the book of the Holy Spirit. How do we unify in spirit? Each one of us has to be unified in the Lord, in the spirit. Our life has to be spirit-filled. Our life has to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's only when each one of us here, all 50 of us here, when our life is dwelt in the Holy Spirit, when our life is controlled by the Holy Spirit, when we are in Christ, when all of us are in Christ, then the true unity will naturally born and come. Not by more activities. That will help us. But we need to pray together. We need to be together and seek God's will more. And each one of us need to be in Christ, spirit empowered. When all of us are controlled by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will unite us together. So each one of us, we need to be with God more. Each one of us, we need to pray together more. That is our weakest link that hinder us, we say, see, to have a spiritual unity. All the other elements they're absolutely important. We cannot just come here and pray every night and do nothing else. No, all the others are important. But this unity in the spirit in prayer is a vital element to provide us true unity. And it is unity in the spirit that hold all the other elements together. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. In the Tower of the Babel, people on the earth, they all spoke one language. But God, they are trying to have a man-made unity. They try to unite together and build this tower, the Tower of Babel. And what happened? We all know the story. What happened? God confused their language. But they have one language. I don't know what language they spoke. Probably Mandarin, because more people speak Mandarin in the world than any other language now. Maybe they speak one language. We don't know what their language. But God confused the language. And then they disperse in the different parts of the world. 2,000 years ago, in the Pentecost, they all came from all these disciples, people. They spoke different languages. They're not supposed to be able to communicate, right? But the Holy Spirit came, and then they all spoke in tongues. And then suddenly, even though they spoke different languages, but in the spirit, they all understand each other. It's just the opposite of the Tower of Babel, isn't it? In the Tower of Babel, man tried to create unity. They all spoke one language, but they failed. But in Pentecost, they all spoke different languages, and God's Holy Spirit united them together by giving them the power to speak in tongues. Today, we don't need to speak in tongues because the Holy Spirit is with us. So let's pray that we will continue to rely on the Holy Spirit to unite us. What the church needs today is not more machinery, equipment, or better, not new organizations, or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use. Men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, does not flow through methods, but through men. The Holy Spirit does not anoint our church handbooks, our system. We have a handbook this thick, a church handbook. Holy Spirit does not dwell in our handbooks. Holy Spirit dwells in the people who read the handbooks. He does not come on machineries. The Holy Spirit does not dwell on our live stream equipment, but the Holy Spirit will anoint the person who's using the equipment. He does not come on equipment, but on man. He does not anoint plans. We have great plans how to be a missional church, but the Holy Spirit does not anoint the plans, but he anoints the people who are following the plans. You understand? The Holy Spirit can only anoint us, not our building, not our equipment, not our microphones, not our drums, but us. Men of prayer, people of prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we this morning we come to you, we pray for unity in our church. Not only unity in vision, in mission, in fellowship, mindset, but unity in the Spirit. May the Holy Spirit connect all of us together so that we can fulfill your great commission together as one body of Christ. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.